Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Turner swings, bouncer up the middle. It's through for a base hit. With the infield in, Walls couldn't get it. And in to score is Marsh.
Well, the Phils certainly crashed the Rays party the last couple days. That was impressive. And what a lot of different ways. A lot of different ways. Last night, the comeback variety, down 5-1 in the eighth inning. And it is now the eighth game out of 11. I mean, John, that's one of the things I think that really stands out. They're slugging, man. Mm-hmm. Eighth game out of 11 that they've scored 7 or more runs.
How about that?
How about that? Devin, you pumped up on the Phils?
I am. I'm trying to temper excitement because baseball is such a long season. So, you know, regardless, something actually Max Kepler said at the very beginning of the season was after he hit a home run at the home opener at Citizens Bank Park was, you know, I know that there's going to be lulls and highs, and this is one of the highs. So I think keeping that in mind, you know, there probably will be a stretch where they're not hitting as well, and we're all going to panic and say that's not going to work. Look, as long as they're hitting and playing their best baseball at the times that matter most, I think that it's an exciting team, and I think that they're playing really, really well. And I think it also says a lot that they're winning and scoring lots of runs. You mentioned 7 or more in their last in 8 of 11 games, and Bryce Harper isn't even hitting well right now.
Not.
So I think that goes to show, you know, how talented this team is and can be. And I also think, you know, to Richie's point, the start of the show with the daycare and the business like mindset that they kind of take in, I feel like we're really starting to see that work for them. It's starting to click. Like their business like approach is working because we're seeing business like fight. Like last night, they clawed their way back in that game and ended up winning it. And that's something that I don't know if this Phillies team could have done at the start of the season in April.
Well, we'll ask you, you know, for the first time during the season, this Twitter poll question. We asked it prior to the season. We'll ask it now during the season in early May. Twitter poll brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Proud to again be Pennsylvania's number one Chevrolet EV dealer. Now in stock, the Equinox, Blazer, and Silverado EVs. Together, let's drive, ArminChevy.com. Poll question, which team's going to win the division? The NL East, three choices, the Phillies, the Braves, the Mets. Who wins the division? Phils, Braves, Mets. Obviously, the Mets have been leading, I guess, since around the first week of the season, something like that. Phils, Braves, Mets, who wins the division? Tell us at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. All right, let's also give you a sense of what Daryl Morey was pushing out there yesterday as he made the rounds. And one of the shows he popped on was Spike's podcast, the Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast. And, you know, the big question, obviously, is about Joel's knee and really moving forward. But there's also the looking back variety. What happened? Why did it happen? Strategically, did they make the right or wrong decisions? Let's listen to Daryl Morey talking to Spike yesterday about things that have happened the last 2 years when he came back to play the Knicks in the playoffs and then how they handled it over this most recent season. It's still going on at the NBA, but it feels like it's been over for the Sixers for 5 months. Daryl Morey yesterday.
Do you regret any way that you handled it? And do you think coming back for the Knicks series or playing the Olympics had an adverse effect?
I think we were doing the best with the information we had at the time. I think we, you know, I obviously sitting here now with a very rough Joel year, it's even more front and center that we don't know how many years we have with Joel. So we felt like it was the right thing, especially given the doctor's advice that the playoffs were the right thing last year. With the benefit of hindsight, I think you can maybe say, okay, we know we lose to the Knicks. Why do that? But it also could have gone very well. This year, again, we making the best decision on the best medical advice. We, you know, like the plan that he's on. We like he's with the guy who rehabbed Kawhi, did his surgery, is leading his rehab. Joel was, you know, in New York working this week, earlier this week with him. He has his guy as a big part of the process. So the work is there. And, you know, we shall see. I guess we shall see. But we felt, given the information we have, it was absolutely the right thing we did.
Well, I'll tell you this. If a doctor said he should play and he'll be okay to play, the doctor should be fired.
Yeah. I mean, that still hasn't been answered,
right?
That question.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed how he kind of skipped over the Olympics question.
He did.
He didn't answer that part.
He did not.
Because I think if you put true serum for Maury and everybody at the Sixers, they probably didn't want him to play in that.
Probably not. I would agree with that. Probably not. Yeah.
But I just, there's still, like, what? Just tell us what's, you know, just be honest. We all kind of have an idea what's wrong with it, but he was particularly vague about it.
And what would you say your idea is? Degenerative with the,
yeah, I think he's got arthritis. Yeah.
That's what I've heard, arthritis.
I mean, I don't think there's any doubt.
He's 300 pounds.
Exactly.
He's got degenerative chronic change.
Yeah.
That is holding him back. And you know, with the Olympic thing, that is so complicated to criticize.
Why?
His choice.
I'll speak for Rhea. Why?
To represent his country.
Well, the second one he decided to represent.
Yeah. His choice to represent his country. Like, it's not.
You know, that part to
that
me doesn't factor in, John.
To,
because at a $200 million contract, you have a greater responsibility.
I understand. But it's,
I
not,
really
something,
mean that.
It's not something, if I'm the Sixers, that it's easy to argue with Joel about or argue publicly about.
I think it is. When you're paying someone $200 million, I think it's very easy to say, we don't want you to play, period. Now, let me be clear.
I wanted him to play because I didn't
know how bad the knee was.
I had no idea it was as bad as it seemed
right now.
It must have been horrendous.
I think coming back
and
for the Knicks series is what killed him. I'm telling you, John, the more I think back, like, he always bounced back until the Knicks series. And then in the Knicks series, you could see that he simply couldn't play near 40 minutes with sustained excellence. He'd give you a 10-minute burst and then do nothing for 10 minutes.
Okay.
And that
could also just be a reminder that he is no longer a spring chicken. You know, it's been
it's not about that. It's about the knee.
While
no, because he's young. He's young enough.
Injuries.
Look, he didn't decline overnight with all the other parts of the body. It's just the knee. The knee couldn't answer the bell anymore. Look, we'll ask you what your reaction is to what you heard from Daryl Morey there. We're going to play a lot of Daryl Morey audio today because he gave a number of comprehensive answers, many centered around Joel. I mean, let's be real. That's what we really care about. You know, who really cares about his opinion on Jared McCain? I mean, yeah, get in there, you know, improve from last year's injury, come back.
I'm telling you, rookie of the year until he got hurt.
I mean, the whole, you know, Joel is the sun in this universe. And without him, they're obviously screwed. So we'll play a lot of audio related to Joel the knee and things Daryl Morey said yesterday. You can react 215-592-9494. Also, give us the best fictional mom of all time. Best answer whoever provides is going to win the Metallica tickets. And your thoughts on the Fight and Phils, who are showing a lot of fight these days. Logan in Delaware, as we broadcast from Borgata. Good morning, Logan.
Morning, guys. How you guys doing?
Doing well, Logan.
Good. Does Mike Allstott not make the conversation?
You know, I thought of him. I think he deserves.
But we hate him.
Yeah, like
if you dotted the,
I think he's a notch below.
Like he did, then he's tailback too.
Logan, that's the thing. He was the best runner of the fullbacks. Clearly, I mean, modern day fullbacks. I'm not talking Jim Brown. And you know, modern day fullbacks. He's the best runner, but I don't think he was the blocker that Darryl Johnson or Tom Rathman were.
But they didn't really ask him to be.
No, that's right. That's right.
For sure. So on the Phillies, I feel like what was encouraging about the game last night in particular is we actually finally saw like the bats wake up and actually make a difference in a game within a game. Like it's not like they, you know, went hitless from the fourth inning on and then couldn't get it going. And I think that's what really good teams do. They might have a slump within a game, but they're able to hit out of it. Unlike, you know, in a similar way in the Mets series earlier in the year, Stott hits that three-run home run to get him within one, and then nothing. And I feel like that fight that they're showing is different. And I also feel like in the ways that they're better and that they're actually starting to come into their own with their new approach to the plate and all that, it feels more sustainable than last year when they were playing like one of the best teams of all time. You know what
I mean? Look, let's be real, Logan. One of the things that stood out in this series, sure, they had a three-run homer last night, but they really manufactured some runs. Mm-hmm. I mean, the bottom line
Trey
is
Trey was stealing.
Yeah, you had that.
Rojas stealing.
Rojas first to third was big. Yep. I mean,
Felt like a really, like, truly complete team win. Everyone had some sort of contribution offensively.
Yeah, I agree.
You know,
that.
The and first to third thing last night also did make me wonder why was it not a mistake that he pushed it past second to go all the way to third in that situation?
Because you saw the carom.
There were two outs.
Or he anticipated there were two outs. Where the ball
I know,
went.
But it was awfully close.
Well, of course it was.
But the other night, what was it? It was a similar situation where he was scrutinized for taking third, and it really was reckless when he did
I'll
it.
I'll say this. Usually, when and ballparks
this felt like it was never a question that he should take third or try to take third, but there were two outs. He could have been thrown out at third.
Yeah, but
and we didn't at any point say what the heck is he doing.
Here's what I'll say.
Like we did the other night.
A fast runner on first base where the ball gets past the first baseman often is going to get to third base.
Yeah.
So I think he knew that and was willing to take the chance. But it was close, and it was a good tag by that third baseman.
Sure was.
But he,
it was awfully close. It was way closer than I thought it would be when it was
really
all said and done.
Yeah.
But it just made me think, like, holy cow, it really does feel similar to the other night. We are not in any way upset, though.
All right, Logan, well, you got there. Logan, give me a great fictional
mom. The other night, but we were upset that he risked it.
Logan, what do you got? What do you got, bud?
I'll go with Molly Weasley. From Harry Potter.
Oh, okay. Good answer.
Yeah, she's so, so motherly.
That is
a great. She's
kind of the idea.
She's got a lot of. Yeah.
So,
she's got a lot of love.
So let me ask you this. Would Linda Hamilton in Terminator not be motherly?
I thought about naming her.
She's less motherly. She can do more pull-ups than I can.
Her arms were ripped.
She was so
tremendous.
Ripped.
What was her name? Sarah Connor. Yeah.
Sarah Connor.
Absolutely. All right, let's go. And by the way, I'm curious your reaction on the Joel stuff also. Patrick in Tabernacle. Patrick, what's going on, dude?
Morning, everybody. How we doing?
Doing well, Patrick.
So,
how many Terminator movies are there?
Sorry
to
interrupt. There's only two that count.
Yeah. How many are there
now? I don't
know.
Two that count.
But I agree with you. I don't know what happened after T2,
right?
Because there were a bunch of them, and like Christian Bale was in some of them.
Yeah.
But so it seems like it should be good.
It's kind of like
Christopher
Reeve Superman thing. You just forget about 3 and 4. It's like you had 1 and 2, and then just same concept. Just keep it simple.
But how many are there?
I literally don't know.
Okay.
All right, Patrick, what do you got, bud?
Hey, real quick, Daryl Morey, boy, that's pulling teeth listening to that guy speak. First of all, I just can't.
Yeah, he's not a very
him.
Compelling
no,
public.
He's a disaster speaker.
He really is.
At least he didn't sound too out of breath in that one.
No.
So that's good.
But the problem is, you have to sit there and parse through a lot of nonsense to get meat out of anything.
I agree. And you know what the other problem, Ray? Well, two things. One, I don't think he really is keeps it real with you.
No.
And two, and this drives me bananas. How he could do this but knows not to. He doesn't speak like he's at an MIT convention. Like he speaks, you know, like Howie Roseman speaks to Philadelphia. And I'm not trying to say we're dumb. We're not dumb. We're just common sense people. Talk to us in normal lingo.
Yeah.
You know, Morey gives you all that analytics crap sometimes, oftentimes. Yeah. And I'm not in the mood to hear it.
No.
I don't want to hear it.
Answer a question. I got to get all this other stuff. You know,
don't give me the AI impact and influence.
Oh, that was
be a freaking regular guy, man. Very aggravating there, Patrick.
Yes, it is. Anyhow, listen, man, the Phils.
By the way, notable, he didn't come on our show. You know, he goes on Spike's podcast. And
yeah, that's a weasel move.
I mean, three different times in the last couple of months, I put the bat signal out there for him and squat-ta.
There you go.
Yeah.
So, listen, man, the Phils, Joe, yeah, everybody, I'm one of these half-empty guys with the Phils, but yet I've always prefaced this by saying, like, I'm totally in on this. I'm in on this team, and they're a really good team. You know, I get that. And prior to, you know, this last trip we're on, you know, looking ahead for me, it's always the Memorial Day check-in. But I thought this last couple weeks going up to Memorial Day could do something, and we're seeing it. We're definitely seeing some things. But the only thing I'm saying right now is, as far as this series goes, listen, I don't know. We're talking a lot of things. It's great to see the bats going. We just beat up on a little league team.
Well, you know, they're not as good as they used to be. That's obvious.
No, like, seriously, there's and first of all, JT is, you know, that guy is a stud behind the plate, just straight up.
Patrick, you know what struck me this weekend with his defense? This week with his defense, because I've thought about this a lot over the last couple years. I think there's a really good chance he's the best catcher the Phillies have ever had.
Wow.
And obviously the ones that come to mind in modern times would be Bob Boone and Dutch.
Boom.
And then, you know, JT. And I was young for the Boone thing, so let me be very candid to everyone who's older than me that saw the Bob Boone thing. I can't really know. How can I know? I can't. I didn't see Bob Boone much.
Dutch was really great at handling the pitching staff.
He was.
JT is phenomenal defensively.
Well, here's the other thing about Dutch, and you guys know I say this with all love. Me and him were legitimately friends. I loved him. We hosted a show together for 3 years. But Dutch stunk until he didn't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like a lot of times we think back to the 3 or 4 years Dutch was great, but there was the 5 or 6 years that he wasn't very good at all. And so the reality, and now knee injuries played a big part of that. Sure. I want to be very clear. The guy had a ton of injuries, and that was a huge part of it. But the consistency that JT has provided to Phillies over 7 years, where he's pretty much always a top five catcher in baseball. Now, this year, the hitting is, you know, finally tailing off, and it's inevitable, as it happened with Bob Boone, as it happened with Dutch, as it happens with everybody. But I think there's a very legit chance JT is the best catcher overall the Phillies have ever had. And that's saying something.
There you go, Joe.
All right. I need someone who's 100 years old to call in and tell me if I'm right or not, because I really don't know. Patrick, give me an answer. Great fictional mom.
Real quick. Joe, you just said something. The Phillies, one thing I will say is the Phillies, I think, possibly, like, they're not, you know, we're not winning the World Series until we win it. You know, they're pecking away.
You are correct about that. I tell you what. That's a true comment, Patrick.
But Joe,
they cannot win it until they win it.
Now listen,
I'm putting that in the next update.
But everybody knows what I'm trying to say. But anyhow, yo, how about this? What? The best fictional mom. I use this address fictionally all the time for people. This mother lived at 1313 Mockingbird Lane, and that would be the one Lily Munster.
Ah, you got it, man. Boy, that's a different variety right there, the Munsters. Devin, you got anything on the Munsters? Probably not, right?
Nada, no.
Do you know the difference between the Munsters and the Addams Family?
Yes.
Because I don't, and I watched all that stuff.
Are you kidding?
I know the Addams Family. Munsters, like, I've heard of, but I couldn't.
Well, they were both weird. What was the difference? Yeah. I don't remember.
Well,
they were both weird.
I was more of a Munsters fan than the Addams Family.
They were
total weirdos.
Are they like shows. The same universe?
Same
Why
sort
are we
of concept, but different shows?
Okay, so
right. What's
different.
Like I Dream of Jeannie and Bewitched?
Yeah,
it's like the same. Yeah.
I was weirdly obsessed with I Dream of Jeannie. It would come on Nick at Night.
Oh yeah,
yeah. When I was like a
there.
Kid, yeah, yes. I thought
so
it was cool.
Joe.
Come on,
didn't
man.
You tell us about that?
Not really.
I think I think obsessed in a different kind of way.
That ain't right, man. Just the horny hammer comment again.
I thought you
was that Barbara Eden?
Special fondness for Barbara Eden. You know her name. Look at that.
Yeah. Who doesn't know Barbara Eden?
Well, I think a lot of people don't know